Thank you, Pat. Welcome, everyone, to services here in Roseville and everyone on the World Wide Web. Welcome to all. Now, today I want to speak about a subject I think everyone would like to have more of, and that's joy. Paul lists joy, the ability to rejoice even in the darkest trials. As one of the fruits of God's Spirit is, in fact, it's number two in order in God's Spirit's that he gives to his saints. Today I'll be discussing why it is necessary to develop the fruit of joy in our walk with God and how we develop this important Christian trait. Now, I'd like to read from the New Living Translation, so you need not turn there, but Psalms 5:11, I will quote Psalms 5:11, where it says, "But all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them sing joyfully praises forever. Spread your protection over them, that all who love your name may be filled with joy." So God gives joy to those who trust and believe in him. David not only rejoiced inwardly, but expressed his joy externally with his voice loudly praising God in song, just like we did right before services began. David expressed his love for God by always rejoicing. You know, and if you read the Psalms, you'll notice maybe he'll go through a list of issues to start a psalm. But in the end, he always finishes by praising God. The definition of joy from Wiktionary.org is joy, rejoicing, rejoice, an act of showing joy, jubilation, to feel gladness, delight, happiness, triumph, celebration, glee, exaltation, bliss. Now, who wouldn't want more of those things in their life? I think we all would like to feel that way on a constant basis. Now, the biblical definition is found in John 15. So if you would all please turn to John 15, and we'll begin in verse 10 of John 15, where it says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Now, verse 11. "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." So, God's law of love is key to our spiritual joy. Yet it seems we are surrounded by confused and angry and a discouraging and lawless world. Everywhere we look, there is bad news. Examine any news story and you'll find that there is little good news to report. Even the weather report is bad, and the mainstream press seems to think that we're all doomed. You know, the coastal cities will be underwater soon. And brethren, sin or lawlessness is never mentioned as a solution for any of our problems. You know, it's always a political solution. We just need more money. Sadly, even in God's church, we have hard times expressing true joy. Sadly, sometimes in the church, there is division. You know, and I know from all the years that I've been in the church that we've had trouble with this on and off through the church's history. You know, and it's not just exclusive to the modern Church of God. You can read about it in the gospel message in the New Testament. Do we come to the church complaining about our daily lives? You know, do we bring in and carry in the baggage and the weight of the world as we come in here? Or do we shed that baggage when we walk through that door and rejoice in the truth and freedom we receive from God? But for us today, and we're Pentecost season, we need to remember that joy is a second fruit of God's Spirit talked about in Galatians. Now let's turn to Galatians, where we can remind ourselves of that. Galatians 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Now verse 23. Gentleness, self-control, and against such things there is no law. So we can see that there's spiritual attributes that we should be displaying as God's saints, and they're spelled out right here in Galatians. What is joy? A deeper definition of joy is something that we choose to express. It's not being overly optimistic, and it doesn't just come and go. But brethren, it's a matter of attitude that comes from God, one of his spiritual attributes, through his Spirit, through Christ living in us. Joy comes from a confidence in God and his plan for us, the belief that he is working and doing a work and is in full control, no matter what is happening or is going to happen. And that's kind of a definition of happiness. It kind of hinges on what's happening in our lives. But joy is much deeper than that. This Sabbath, we're about 5 weeks before Pentecost, we will focus on an important part of God's Spirit, the Spirit of joy. So many things can steal our joy, brethren. Let's take a look at some of the issues that can distract and take away our joy. Now, number one, trials and tests. And I know all of us have gone through trials and tests to a certain extent. And if you look at the prayer request that our pastor sent out, Mr. Horchak sent out last night, it seemed like there was more than usual amount of prayer requests and a lot of desperate needs in the church. Why do the saints have to endure problems and setbacks at a rate as high, or it seems as higher than, that of the sinful world? Now I want to tell you a story. Once there lived a man who had a secure career. He was respected in his community. He was an expert in the law. People looked up to this man. Then he became a Christian. Soon after his conversion, he was persecuted, misunderstood by his friends, and maligned by countless enemies. Now let's read about this man in Philippians 3. Philippians 3 and verse 8, where Paul gives his response to the trials he faced. Verse 8, yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may, gain Christ. Now, what was important to Paul. It was his relationship with Christ. And through Christ, he could defeat the fiery arrows of Satan. And he knew that, and he was faithful. Number two, conflict and anger, relationship problems with a boss or colleagues at work, or problems in our family or with brethren. And brethren, the list is endless. You know, you can go on and on about things that could steal or take away our joy. Now I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, so you don't need to turn there, but it's from James 4, starting in verse 1, where it says, "What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it. So you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it." So we understand in the world that we have division, and especially in our country, has reached a point of polarization. Now I know that our president isn't very good at uniting people. But to have 93% of the news negative toward him is a little excessive, I think. And it just breeds more negativity. And it seems we're just polarized. And there is no uniting the country. And it's just getting worse since his election. Now let's turn to Philippians 2, verse 2. Philippians 2, verse 2. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And of course, that mind is the mind of Jesus Christ. So he gives us the solution to the division. We need to think like Christ thinks and not be influenced by Satan. Now, John 16:20, where we go over this point once again. John 16. In verse 20, where it says, "Most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy." Now, joy is a positive approach we choose to express. We may have to endure persecution, like Christ is talking about here in John 16. But when Christ returns, as it says in verse 20, our sorrow will be turned into joy. So there's always something to look forward to, no matter what happens to us in the world. And I know it's tough, but that's the mindset we need to have. Now let's talk about joy builders. And the first one I'd like to talk about, we have to believe that God is a joy giver. Let's turn to Isaiah 65, where we read about a prophecy about the joy that God will give us. Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65, verse 18, where it says, "Be glad, rejoice forever in my creation. And look, I will create Jerusalem a place of happiness. Her people will be a source of joy. So what a, you know, what a magnificent thing to look forward to. Right now, Jerusalem is a place of fear. It may not be a place, a safe place to travel. But in the future, God will change that. We need to realize that joy is one of the character traits of God. As our loving Father, He wants the best for His family. He rejoices in seeing His children's happiness because they have chosen to live His way. Now, number two, the second joy builder is we have to commit to a right relationship within the body. Now, I'll just read this to you. You don't need to turn there. It's from the New Living Translation. Hebrews 10:25 says, "And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near." So that's why we're all here today. We need each other. Now, Romans 11, verse 15, if you'd turn there, please. Romans 11, verse 15. Where it says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep." Now, brethren, how is this possible? Well, it's only possible if we're able to do this, if we have a connection with one another, because we care about the lives of others in the body. We can rejoice with their successes and be sad when they suffer. Now, the third joy builder is we have to give our problems to God. Let's read about that in Acts 16. We turn to Acts 16. And it's, I know that we went over the Acts in a Bible study, in our Bible study program recently. And this is a familiar story. Acts 16, starting in verse 16. While preaching the word of God and healing the sick, Paul and Silas were brought to the authorities because of one man's complaint. Now we start in verse 16 and we see that Paul came upon a young lady, a girl, a slave girl, who had the spirit of divination. She was a fortune teller. And this girl followed Paul and Silas and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High." Then in verse 18, Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and said to the spirit. See, he didn't say to the girl, but he said to her spirit, the demonic spirit that was in her, commanded her to come out in the name of Jesus Christ. And the demon came out. But as a consequence, she lost that ability to fortune tell, or fortune telling. And her master lost a lot of money. He was making money abusing this young girl, using her spirit, the wrong spirit. And so he seized Paul and Silas and dragged them to the marketplace to the authorities. And we drop down to latter verses, and we see that they went before the authorities and were beaten. You know, how many of us doing God's work are taken out and beaten and thrown into prison? Now, verse 25, it says, "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them." You know, that here these men are singing joyfully, praising God in their circumstance in prison after they received a beating. You know, what kind of attitude, you know, faithful attitude did they have? Instead of being down and discouraged and giving up, Paul and Silas prayed and sang hymns, believing God would deliver them. They left their troubles in God's hands. God delivered them, and they were freed from prison. And in the process, the jailer of the prison became converted. So there's a lot to rejoice of right there. Not only were they freed, a man and his family were converted. Something really to rejoice about. And this leads me to my next point, point number four. We have a work to do. There are many problems and troubles we will endure in this life, but we can't be distracted by temporary setbacks. I know that's easy to say, but it's the truth. Because we have work, and we have a work to do, and we've been commissioned to do this work by Jesus Christ. Now, you don't need to turn there. I'll just read to you Psalms 34:19 from the New Living Translation that kind of reiterates our present circumstances. It says, "The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to rescue him each time." Now let's turn to Philippians 4. And I might mention, joy is mentioned in Philippians 19 times. So it's a good book to read to help us find joy. Now, Philippians 4, verse 1. "Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved." Verse 2. "I implore Euodia, and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companions, help these women who labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are written in the book of life." Now verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice." To summarize, we need to be aware of joy busters and trials and tests, and also conflicts and anger. And we need the joy builders of believing in God as a joy giver. We must be committed to having a right relationship within the body, giving our problems to God always, and doing the work God has commissioned us to do. Brethren, joy comes from staying close to God. In prayer, we stay in contact with God, which will help us grow in His spirit of joy. Joy is a result of knowing and focusing on the big picture. You know, it's hard sometimes to get out of our daily rut and routine and look at the big picture. And that big picture is God's plan of salvation for all people. God loves and cares for us, each and every one of us, personally. Now let's finish with Psalms 96. Psalms 96. And in verse 11 it says, "Let the heavens be glad, and the earth rejoice. Let the seas and everything in it shout his praise." Verse 12. "Let the fields and their crops burst out with joy. Let the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he is coming. He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with justice and the nations with his truth."